I want to welcome all of our campuses and our radio ministry and the web ministry and all of that that's there. This is a great, great day as we're starting off a series called Difference Makers that you'll hear more about in just a second. It's going to be something that's going to make a difference in us so that we can make a difference in our world that's out there. And what we're going to do is, first, I want to just celebrate something that's a great thing. So I want all campuses all over our city to just celebrate this. We've got something to celebrate, two things to celebrate with our Cypress campus. First of all, this is the first Sunday that they are moving to two services. So can we just say, yeah, that is awesome. We've had growth that's required two services, which is amazing. So this is the first time they've ever had a service in this time to kick off before the 11 o'clock. So welcome, Cypress, that are there and watching. It is the first time to have two services, which is great. Also at the Cypress campus this Wednesday, we're asking for prayer requests on this, but also a celebration. We are building a church out there, a literal physical building out there. And we are purchasing 32 acres out in Cypress off the Grand Parkway. And then we are closing on that land this Wednesday. We are closing on 32 acres. Can we give a cheer for that? Be praying for that too, because you know it's never done until it's done on real estate stuff. So we need to be praying for that. So we're going to build a church out there. It's going to be great. They've been in Smith Middle School and doing a super job out there. But set up, tear down, that's a hard thing to be able to do. So we just want to celebrate what's happening in Cypress and downtown. Welcome as well in Siena and Espanol. And we're just excited about what God's going to do. We want to all get on the same page. It's important that we're on the same page. We've got five campuses and we're all over the city, two different languages, Espanol and Inglés, and we want to be on the same page. This is a page that's what's called a musical score, is what this is. A musical score. Now, I don't know a lot about this because I'm not as musical as as the rest of the people that surround me, but this one is called Alleluia Lauda Simone Te. Last week I showed off my Vietnamese. This week I'm showing off my Latin, is what that is. And that means that we praise thee. And this is what's called a musical score. Now, in this musical score, each one of these little lines here is a different instrument that you could play. So we've got the piccolo, the flute, the oboe number two, the English horn, boom, 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 boom. It goes all the way down through here. So we've got about 40 parts that are here on this. 40 different parts. Now, from what they tell me is you can have numerous people playing each part. So you got about 40 parts here in the musical score, but you literally could have hundreds of people playing this same thing by having more violins or more cellos or more whatever it is. This musical score, though, is what the conductor uses. He's the only one that sees this. I asked him, I said, well, how do they not get confused and start playing like the trombone when you're playing a trumpet? And they said, well, nobody sees this. They only see their part, but the conductor sees all of this. This is like the play of a coach to know where each receiver is going and what each lineman is doing. The musical score is what I want to put us on for the next about 10 minutes before we get to our time of Bible study. I want to get us on the same page so that we can know where we're going this year. We have got an amazing year that is coming up. Our need and our country's need, our world's need, is we need difference makers. Our need is difference makers. We don't just need to elect difference makers. We don't need to just vote on difference makers. We don't need to just hire difference makers. We need to be difference makers. So our theme this year is difference makers. That's our theme. And you're going to see that all throughout this year, difference makers. And I'll tell you more about that throughout the year, but also today. So I want us to get in our minds that we are difference makers. That's our theme. We need in our nation, in our homes, in our world, in our schools, in our church, in our neighborhoods, we need difference makers. We need difference makers that volunteer with ministries and volunteer with the church. We need difference makers as you go out into your world. Difference makers is key. A study was done by the O.C. Tanner Institute, and they did this study with Forbes Insight as well. And they found a fundamental mind shift in people who set groundbreaking results. There was a mindset in people who achieved groundbreaking results. Here was the mindset. Great difference makers, this is their words, great difference makers shift from seeing themselves as workers with an assignment to crank out to seeing themselves as people with a difference to make. They shift from seeing themselves as workers with an assignment to crank out and they shift to seeing themselves as people with a difference to make. I wonder if in your vocation, if you see yourself as a worker with something to crank out. I wonder if you see yourself at home of just check the boxes of getting all the laundry done, if I can get all my errands run. Or do you see yourself as a difference maker, not just a worker with something to crank out, but a difference maker? That's a huge difference, isn't it? That shifts our mindset, and that's what we want to do. So our theme is difference makers. Now, this falls right in line with where we are even in our church's history. 2016 will be the 175th year of our church. Our 175th anniversary will be 2016. So we're going to celebrate it kind of like a bell curve. We're going to celebrate it beginning now all the way through the new year, and then kind of wrap up in May with that and just celebrate 175 years. Do you realize our church predates Texas being a part of the United States? Texas was a country when our church was founded. Now, no comments on whether or not you think we need to become a country again, okay? That's not where I'm going. So in this, we've got a history. I mean, we literally have stories of people leaving to go fight in every war from the Civil War on. That's an amazing thought. Just tents on the bayou is what we were. We have been making a difference for 175 plus years. And we've got a lot of plans we're going to roll out for you, and really a big, hopefully one we're trying to put together for the spring that'll be very exciting. So April 10th is our official anniversary. It actually falls on a Sunday of 175 years. What an amazing thought that is. We've been making a difference for that long. We want to be a church of difference makers in Houston, and we're going to celebrate what we've already done, but to continue doing and moving forward. Now, I want to show you where we've been. You've got your listening guide here. Hopefully you have that out where you can take notes. And you'll notice up on the top right-hand corner, there's a little periodic table thing that's there that says Matthew that's there. And you'll see that the difference makers, the logo also has a triangle. Let me tell you about the triangle, then Matthew. The triangle is to represent the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit in the A of the difference makers. That means that the Trinity, God, is doing his work through us. It also shows us it's the sign of Delta for change. The difference makers bring a change. So you're going to see that throughout. But I want to draw your attention to that Matthew little section, because here over here, somebody really smart on the internet put this together. It's a periodic table of elements, but it's biblical books. What is the periodic table of elements? It's taking scientific things. Here's the basic elements that every bit of life comes from. Well, this man wisely, Mark Berry, put this together and said, here's the periodic table of elements. And so it's broken down in the narrative, the historical, the wisdom, the major prophets. All these colors represent something different. Here's what we've covered already through the past years. This is the books of the Bible we've covered. Genesis, Exodus, Nehemiah. We've gone, David Self did Philemon a while back. We have gone through Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. We've gone through John. We've gone through Acts. We have been moving through the scriptures over these last years, taking some books a year at a time, some books like John and Acts 2 years at a time, and really moving through them to be able to see this. We need all these elements. But what we're going to look at over the next year, beginning in this first series, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, so we're not going to count that as a whole book. I'm not going to get credit for all of Matthew by going through one chapter. But we're going to go through Matthew chapter 9 these first few weeks to set the pace of what a difference maker is, looking at Jesus and looking at some of the things he did. And then we're going to kick into some Old Testament difference makers. So we're going to study the book of Isaiah. That's where we're going to start. And basically all this fall is going to be the book of Isaiah. We're going to cover Jonah. We're going to cover Esther. We're going to cover Ezra. We're going to cover Habakkuk. Yes, that's a real book. Ask your friends. Habakkuk, we're going to do that one too. And we're going to look as we just continue to work through these elements of what God is putting into our life that really gives us life. So when you see that little Matthew up there, that'll change to Isaiah, and that'll change to Ezra, and that'll change. But that's the periodic table of elements of the Bible of what we're trying to get in us. We want to be difference makers. And the way the greatest difference is made in us is when God's word gets inside of us. That's what God uses to speak to us. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to it through his spirit. He speaks to us through his people. And we want to make sure, even in that order, you know, to be able to do that. And he can do whatever he wants, but a lot of times we're like, what do you think? And we're asking his people before we ever get to a Bible verse, and then we find a Bible verse to, like, justify what our friend said. We want to start with the Word, and we want to say, okay, Lord, confirm your Word with your Holy Spirit. Okay, Lord, confirm your Word and your Holy Spirit with the people of God, wise counsel, to be able to go forward. So we're going to make difference makers is what we're going to be as we study Matthew chapter 9, Isaiah, Ezra, Jonah, Esther, Habakkuk, and we're going to just cruise right on through. It's going to be awesome. I hope that makes you excited to know where we're going, that we're going to make a difference. We're not just asking somebody else to make a difference. At every age and stage, if you're breathing, God's got a difference for you to make. There's no been there, done that just because you're older in years. And there's no, well, I don't know how to do it, and we're looking down on your youthfulness. No, we're all making a difference and stepping forward, and we're going to see that through the Scriptures. Now, with that in mind, I want us to say something together. I put together a statement that we're going to say pretty often throughout this year. You know, the church has always been a place where we've had responsive readings, or we've had creeds through the beginning of the church that they would recite and they would say to put it in their mind. So this is good church history. Not that this is. I wrote this. It's not church history till like, you know, 200 years later, and I'll be dead and gone all by then. This will be forgotten. But to be able to just say something, to repeat something, to declare something as the people of God. So here's what we're going to do. I want this on all campuses. All campuses, we're going to put it up on the screen. I'm going to read it, and you're not going to say it with me the first time, okay? Everybody got that? Then we're going to say it together, all together, okay? So this is what we're going to say. We'll put it up on the screens. You're not saying it. Don't say it with me. Don't keep your mouth closed. I know you're so excited. You just want to say, I was made for more than watching. I have a history-changing, difference-making, life-giving, spirit-empowering legacy to leave. Jesus, I ask you to work deeply in me and clearly through me as I pray, give, and go in your love. I am a difference maker. In Jesus' name, amen. That's written even in your listening guide that you can have to take home with you and put it under your pillow and sleep with it and tattoo it on your stomach, whatever you need to do. Now we're going to say this together. You ready? All campuses, let's go for it. Here we go. One, two, three. I was made for more than watching. I have a history-changing, difference-making, life-giving, spirit-empowering legacy to leave. Jesus, I ask you to work deeply in me and clearly through me as I pray, give, and go in your love. I am a difference maker. In Jesus' name, amen. That's awesome, isn't it? Man, it just gives me let's just applaud that for just a second. What if that got in us? That would be amazing, wouldn't it? It gives me just incredible, like, wow, to take that from my journal to the screens to your lips. It's wonderful. That's where we're going this year, to be a difference maker. With that in mind, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 is where we're going to be. We're on the same page now. We've got the score. We understand where we're going. We get it. And we're going to look in Matthew chapter 9. I've been going through Matthew in my quiet times with the Lord. I spend time with the Lord every morning, every night, hopefully throughout the day as well. But I just open up and I read just a little bit or a lot, whatever it is. Excuse me. And so I got this in Matthew chapter 9 this summer as I was going through Matthew, and I just thought, this is what we need to do. So we're going to work through Matthew chapter 9 over these next few weeks, but we're going to begin in verses 1 through 8, and we're going to talk about what Jesus did in healing this man. Verse 1. So he, that's Jesus, got into a boat and crossed over and came to his own town. That's Capernaum. Okay, that's not Bethlehem or Nazareth. That's Capernaum. Just then, some men brought to him a paralytic, lying on a stretcher. Seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralyzed man, have courage. I want you to underline courage. Have courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the scribes among themselves said, he is blaspheming. But perceiving their thoughts, Jesus said, why are you thinking evil thoughts in your heart? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralyzed man, get up and pick up your stretcher and go home. And he got up and he went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and they gave glory to God. Underline glory to God. They gave glory to God who had given such authority to men. So here we have, this is also found in Mark chapter 2. This is the story. Mark 2, it goes bigger on it. It's the story of the men lowering the man down through the roof that was paralyzed. That's where we get in our special needs ministry. We call it Through the Roof. So because we're helping to bring somebody that can't maybe come to Jesus as easily on their own, we're helping physically to bring them there. That's our special needs kids. We need buddies. We need friends. We need people around them to help them bring there. So if you're at a campus and you've got a special needs kid, get in your car next week and you come barreling down here to the Loop, because we got everything you need, bells and whistles on it. So this is what this is coming from. So his friends lower him down, and then Jesus is there and he says, I want you to hear this as clear as possible. Have courage, your sins are forgiven. Have courage, your sins are forgiven. The first thing we got to know as difference makers is this: difference makers live with courage. Difference makers live with courage. Now, some versions of the Bible say, be of good cheer. Either way, it doesn't matter. It is saying, I want you to be courageous. I want you to be cheerful. I want you to stand up and go for it. I want you to be bold. That's what the Greek's getting at. Difference makers live with courage. And we live in a society in which there's a lot of things to fear. There's a lot of things to fear. I took my kids to go see a movie a week or so ago, and my wife said, have fun at the movie, be safe. It's the first time I'd ever sat in a movie, and when I sat down, I kind of went, where are the exits? Who's around? What's going on? It's weird, isn't it? Now, the likelihood I know is minuscule, but for my wife to think, you know, when you went to the movie, I said, be safe. What a weird thing, you know? So we live in a dangerous place. We live in a dangerous time, but we live in a time where we need great courage. We live in a time that if you speak truth, wow, what will happen? But yet we still must speak truth. And so we end up in this place where we got to have courage. Now, this man here, I want to turn the diamond just a little bit. I want to look at a different facet with him. When we see this man, we typically go, okay, this is healing moment. And it is, no question. But I want you to see something. I want you to notice that Jesus starts with the heart. Jesus starts with the heart. Before he says, get up and get your mat, that's coming later, he says, have courage, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, that's got nothing to do with walking, does it? That doesn't have anything to do with paralyzed. He says, your sins are forgiven. I want you to say, are forgiven with me. Ready? One, two, three. Are forgiven. Not your sins were forgiven in the Old Testament. Not your sins will be forgiven when you get to heaven. Your sins, say it with me, are forgiven. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is declaring, I am God in the flesh. This is a statement of deity. Jesus, present tense, is forgiving sin, and that's what freaks the scribes out. And so this man is receiving Christ's forgiveness. Jesus starts with the heart, and a difference maker, you've got to start with the heart. It's not what you do, it's who you are. It's not what you do in your actions, it's who you are in your attitudes. And most importantly, in salvation in Christ. And so we've got to start with the heart. And when you get the heart right, because many of us, this is wrong thinking. Okay, I need to go to church more. I need to do this more. I need to do this less. And if I get all my little ducks in a row, then I'm a good Christian. Somebody told me that this weekend. Well, I do enough. It's not about doing enough or not doing enough. It's about being somebody for Jesus. It's a relationship with God. That's what this thing is about. Jesus didn't die on the cross so you'd quit cussing. Jesus died on the cross so that he could live inside of you through his Holy Spirit. And then as he lives inside of you, then that'll take care of your language if that's the point you want to go on. But to be able to allow God to do something in you, that's what's happening. First is this man, it starts with his heart. It's first physical, then, excuse me, first spiritual, then it's physical. Then later he says, now get up and go. Take your mat. See, sin is always the problem. And rightly relating with God is always the answer. Hear that? Sin is always the problem. And rightly relating with God is always the answer when you talk about core elements. Next time you begin to see things happen on the news, ask yourself this question. What if there was no sin and you would have removed all the crime, you removed a lot of the disease, you removed a lot of the trouble? Sin's always what's ripping us apart. If something's bringing division, it's most likely sin. But rightly relating with God is what brings us together. And difference makers are people that walk rightly relating with God, allowing Him to make a difference in them. This man, I just want to turn the diamond just a little bit. Think of how comfortable he was on his mat. Think about how comfortable he was, how he was. And Jesus says to him, get up, take your mat, and go home. Get up, take your mat, and go home. Now think about the fear in his mind as he stands up for the first time. Will his legs give out? Will he fall on his face? Is this a joke? Is somebody messing with him? But he has to have the courage to get up and to take up his mat. See, there's something interesting that happens in our lives, and it happens in a Christian's life, a non-believer's life, all of us. We get comfortable with things that we know are not the best for us. We get comfortable with things that we know are not the best for us. And God's saying, get up. And we're like, I like my mat. Get up a little bit earlier, literally, physically. Get up and spend some time with me. No, I like my sleep. Get up and do something different. No, no. Get up and make a difference. No, no. Get up and be a giver. No, no. And we like our mat, even though we know this is not what is best for us. Sometimes this will happen with me. I try to eat right and do all that, but there's sometimes I'm like, I don't want to eat right, and I'm not gonna. So I put all this, whatever, processed cheese on that good old queso, right? Just shoving it in my arteries. Now, am I against queso? I love queso. But there's times in my heart that I'm just like rebellious with it. I don't want to do what's right. I want to do what's wrong, and I'm gonna do what's wrong. I like my mat. That's the way I want to stay. And God's speaking to me saying, and I'm just joking about food, but speaking about whatever it is, to say, I want you to stand up, and I want you to go, and I want you to make a difference, and I want to do something in you. And I said, but I'm so comfortable here. I've got my processes of how life works out. This man had the courage to stand up and to walk. Are we living in faith, or are we living in fear? Are we getting up and walking with God? Are we comfortable on our mat just wanting Jesus to pass by? Difference makers walk with courage, and they realize it happens first in the spirit. Then it happens next in their physical bodies, if you will, or next in how we live out our lives. But don't get it into works. Keep it in grace, and then the grace of Jesus will compel you to live in a difference-making way. This summer, I went to Africa, as you know. We mentioned before in our sabbatical time, did a lot of mission work there. It was absolutely incredible. One place we went to that many people in our church have gone to is a place called the Masamara. It's this grassland area where literally 20 miles in any direction, there's no billboards, there's no fences, there's no power lines. There's really no people besides the people you're with, but there's a lot of lions, so you better stay in the car, and there's a lot of elephants, and there's zebras and giraffes and, you know, cheetahs and all sorts of things, baboons everywhere. So it's just everywhere. So it's a beautiful, beautiful place. Well, one of our church members, a difference maker church member, went on a safari there, and the guy that was in the car with him, his name was Thomas, and he led Thomas to Jesus Christ. Thomas became a Christian as the guy. It's just a difference maker from our church on a safari, not going, well, I'm on vacation from God. I'm on vacation with God. And he begins to share with Thomas, leads Thomas to Christ. Do you know what Thomas is called now? Thomas is now called Pastor Thomas. Let me show you a picture of him. This is Pastor Thomas. That's him to the right. That's Pastor Greg to the left. I'm on the left. I'm the left-hand guy. That's not me on the right. I know it's two pastors. It's real confusing. I'm joking with you. Pastor Thomas on the right. I'm on the left. His mom right there in the middle. I mean, could he and I be more different? Two different continents, two different places, but we're both pastors sharing Jesus in our hearts and with people. What an amazing thing. Let me show you the church where he started his first church. There it is. His church underneath the tree right there. Underneath the tree, a church was started and a school was started. He said, I'm a difference maker and I'm going for it and I'm going to make a difference. I'll tell you about the church and the school in just a second. See, our church said, you're a difference maker. We want to help you in whatever way. So when our choir and orchestra went to Africa, we left with Thomas. We left speakers, amplified speakers type stuff. We left a sound system. We left a screen. We left a projector. We bought him a motorcycle. And really, truthfully, they pile all these things onto a motorcycle, okay? And so he goes out all over to the villages and shows the Hope film or the Jesus film with all these villages all over the place talking about Jesus. He's making a difference. He's making a difference. I want to show you this last verse in verse 8. Verse 8. We'll read 7 through 8. It says, and he got up and he went home. Verse 8. And when the crowd saw this, they were awestruck and gave glory to God who had given such authority to men. Authority to men meant not to the paralyzed man, but that Jesus had the authority as the Son of God. Jesus is basically saying, I am deity. I am Christ. I could say, get up and walk and never forgive his sins. But I'm saying your sins are forgiven, and I'm saying get up and walk. Do you see what Jesus is doing? I can forgive sin, and I can make a paralyzed man walk. I am the Messiah is what he's saying. And here's what happens. This paralyzed man, they do not applaud his steps. They applaud the Savior. Difference makers shine with their Savior, not their success. Hear that. Difference makers shine with their Savior, not their success. They don't say at the end of this little section, and then they cheered as he danced. And then he ran a marathon. Everybody thought he was awesome. And then everybody selected him to be on their soccer team because he had the best leg there ever was to kick a goal. No. Anything like that? No. His success, in a sense, if we could do that, his standing up, his get up and walk, his going into his village, that's not what was celebrated. The Savior was what was celebrated. They gave glory to God and were awed by Jesus. Difference makers, if we're going to be difference makers, here's the deal. Difference makers aren't concerned with their success. Difference makers want to shine with their Savior. So Jesus is not a route to your vocational success. Jesus is not a route to you getting rich. Jesus wants to shine through you. And the greatest difference makers, though we're all streaked and stained with our own desires and our own needs for pats on the back, and our own, yeah, you did a great job. Difference makers have the courage, hear this, have the courage to live for God, not for themselves, and to shine with him, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your good works shine before men so that they glorify your Father in heaven, not so that they glorify you. And this man, he said, get up and walk. He walked, and they glorified God. Now, on his part, he had to get up and walk. To glorify God and to walk in these ways and to walk with courage, it's going to take energy and it's going to take action from us. He didn't just lay on his mat and everybody went, wow, praise God, he's still laying on his mat. He got up and he walked. He got up and made the effort. He got up and walked with energy. There was action and energy. And I just want you to hear, and please don't hear this as works. This is all coming from the grace of God and the Holy Spirit living inside you. But if we don't take energy and action in growing in our faith, you'll never grow in your faith. If you're a person that's like, I just don't read, you're never going to grow in your faith. It's never going to happen. Readers are leaders and leaders are readers. That's how it goes. And 50% of America never reads a book in a given year. 50% of our country never reads a book in a given year. Or which 50% are you a part of? If you're not reading, you're probably not growing in any way, shape, or form in your life. Reading, leading, letting God do something. Letting God do something, and then you glorify him with great courage, with great courage. The crowd was awed by God. We want some credit sometimes, but that's not what we need to do. We need to let God have all the credit and be glorified. And if we're a church of difference makers who are courageous in faith and don't care who gets the credit, you better look out for the difference that we can make. But if we're fearful in our faith and we always want the credit, we're not going to make the difference for eternity that we should. And just as this man, it said he went home, Pastor Thomas went home. He went back to his village and about half of his tribe has come to Christ because of Pastor Thomas. There's now a church of 200 people that's meeting in this place. Yeah, let's give an applause for that. There's a school of over 300 kids. I want to show you a picture of the school this summer. You, our church, bought new uniforms for almost 300 kids. So there they are getting their new uniforms right there. Those little white cards have their name on them, so our mission team got up and called them each by name. Do you know how bad of an idea that was to try to pronounce all these African names? They were like, I don't, maybe, and so finally we got the uniforms to the kids. We gave away 263 uniforms, I think, and ran out. So there's almost 300 kids that are there, and we made sure, you know, that the other kids will get them. But so we gave them new uniforms. That's you. You gave those away. That's what happened. Your giving did that in Africa, which is amazing to be a difference maker there. Then right there next to the school, that's the church in the background. See back there? That's the 200-person church that we helped build as our church helped build as well. So we've got them that we gave uniforms. Then just about a quarter mile away, the church gave my family and I, in honor of us being here 10 years, a water well. So here's the water well that we have there. So that little plaque there says, given in honor of our 10-year anniversary, and that's our family there, Living Water International, tremendous ministry. So that water well, do you get this in your mind? 1,000 people a day go to that water well. And that little channel that's going back behind me, that goes to a little pool that goes outside the fence so that their cows can come and get water on the excess, so none of it's wasted. People bring their buckets and they fill that up for clean water. That helps their health. And then they're able to hear about the living water of Jesus. So it's amazing. So there's a school there. There's a church there. There's the living water well there. Then one of the traditions that they did, I don't know if they tricked me or not, but they say you got to get dumped with water. So this is me at the water well, dumping water on me with my hat filled with water. Let me tell you what a great thing that was. But let me put this all together for you as we begin to close. One person from our church went on a vacation safari. One difference maker. Not somebody that said, well, I just want to make sure the concierge does what he needs to on the safari. He went and realized there's somebody here in my midst that doesn't know Jesus. That one person from our church led one person to Christ. His name was Thomas. Thomas then realized he had a call in his life, and Thomas then went and led half his tribe to Christ. Then half his tribe turns into 200 people showing up on a Sunday. They already met while we're meeting. They've already met. 200 people went to church today with a church that we helped build. Then kids, 300 plus kids, go to school that day. Or not on Sunday, but go to school in that place that we helped with that. The government saw what the church was doing and built another school building on the property. And when I was there, we gave them textbooks. They didn't have textbooks. They didn't even know what those were. Textbooks, here you have them. So then that difference was made so that then water could happen, and all this happened because one person in our church decided they were going to make a difference. Isn't that awesome? That's what we're talking about. That's the periodic table of elements. That's how God can use you. That's how God can use me. What a great testimony that is. Be a difference maker. Not just wait till a difference maker gets elected. We need that too. I just wait until a difference maker gets hired at the church. We need that too. You and me, let's be a difference maker everywhere we go. And it'll spread on a motorcycle with a projector into Tanzania or a church in Houston, Cyprus, Siena, downtown, the Loop, Espanol, all different languages. God can do something as we allow Jesus to give us courage and our spirits to be changed, as then we walk out our lives to the glory of God. Folks, that's the song we're singing. That's the song we're singing. Maybe what needs to happen with you is that Jesus needs to make a difference in you first. It's got to work in you before he works through you. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Savior, or maybe you're living in sin. Purity is not where it needs to be in your life. And from the grace, the compelling grace of Christ, would you get out of that mat and out of that chair where you're so comfortable and step out in courage and let God do something in you and through you. Don't stay in the comfortableness of your sin. step out and let him. Get up and walk. If you know Christ as Savior, then allow him to make a difference through you.